Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. It's a joy to have you with us today. Pastor Ed leads Fellowship Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In today's message, Pastor Ed Young takes a look at one of the most difficult temptations anyone in history has ever faced in the new series called Villain. In today's message, The Template of Temptation, we'll discover together how Jesus overcame and dealt with temptation. This program is just a glimpse of what Pastor Ed has to offer. From global missions to his latest inspirational books and daily devotionals, there's something for everyone. You can find all of this and more at edyoung.com. And here's an exclusive offer for our listeners today. Download a free chapter of Pastor Ed and Lisa's newest book, A Path Through Pain, at edyoung.com. With refreshing vulnerability and power, A Path Through Pain shares their family's journey from sorrow and anger to hope and healing after the tragic and sudden loss of their daughter. As they share their incredible perspective, they will inspire and equip you to believe that there is purpose in your pain, even if you can't see that purpose yet. Now, let's get into today's message called The Template of Temptation. Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
Villains are very popular these days. There are movies written and produced about villains. We're sort of attracted to villains. Yet, whenever we read anything, whether it be a children's book, a novel, if we watch a movie, there's always that villain, usually. The villain versus the hero. You get the conflict, and then after the conflict, they lived happily ever after. That's the way most of us like to watch or to read. You know, we want something to have a good ending. We're made to live happily ever after. That's why I like children's books so much, and they lived happily ever after. Well, today I want to talk to you a little bit about the villain. I don't know about you, but I've flown a lot in my life, and whenever I fly, I've never been ceased to amazed at how when you get up at your cruising altitude, 30,000 feet, 35,000 feet, the perspective of everything changes. You know, you're up there and you're seeing, okay, there's Dallas, there's Fort Worth, there's Miami, there's New York, there's Los Angeles. And you're thinking like, whoa, things seem to be so small. You can just kind of see everything laid out, the different freeways and the suburbs and the different malls, and oh, there's Fellowship Church or whatever. You know, it's cool. It's a perspective that I really, really enjoy. What kind of perspective do you have on life? So often I'm so busy with doing this and doing that that I forget about taking a step back. I forget about zooming out. I forget about looking at my life from 30,000 feet. Well, today we're sort of going to do that. We're going to take a step back and look at life at 30,000 feet. We're going to look at the plot of life. The Bible is a fascinating book because there is a plot to it. You'll notice there's one villain, the devil, one hero, Jesus, and one theme, Jesus saves. Let me say that again. What's the Bible about? You've got one villain, the devil, one hero, Jesus, and one theme, Jesus saves. That's it. That's the Bible. We're made for this, and we see this. And many times people ask the question, so do I, well, why is there evil in the world? You know, if God's such a good God, why evil? I would argue, biblically speaking, theologically speaking, that we can't understand the goodness of good unless we understand the badness of bad. The goodness of good being God. God is good. He is the true definition of good. We can't understand righteousness without understanding unrighteousness. We can't. We have to have an opposite. How can we know what pleasure is without pain? God made us as creatures in His image, and we have a freedom of choice. I choose to love God or not. I'm not robotic. I'm relational. And I'm glad. And you should be glad as well, because if we were robotic, we could just, you know, we would just do what God says every time. It would not be a real love situation. I've been married for over 3 decades. I choose to love Lisa. She chooses to love me. I'm not forced to do so. Love is a choice. So we choose either God or evil. You take a 30,000 feet view of life, we choose. God makes people in his image who have a freedom of choice. What's the plot? What's the fight? What's this epic battle between the villain, the devil, and the hero, Jesus? Well, I'll tell you what it is. We have to back up about 30,000 feet. We have to zoom out and look at it from a different perspective. It starts with the villain versus God. Then it moves from the villain versus God to the villain versus man. And then it moves back to the villain versus God. And then it ends with the villain versus man again. God-man, God-man. Now, Ed, why is this important? Because it's huge due to the fact that God has a storyline for all of our lives. And the storyline is absolutely unbelievable. God is the author of history, and he wants you and me to be a part of his story. We can do something unique because we're made in God's image that no one else can do. Do you understand that? Well, if you do, great. Are you a part of it? Because again, what's being played out before us? There is simply one hero, Jesus, one villain, the devil, and one theme, Jesus saves. Let's start out with the villain versus God. I'm talking about this goes way back in the heavenlies. You know, the devil was named, the villain was named Lucifer. That was his name. He was in charge of worship. And some have suggested, this is not in the Bible, but some believe this, that Lucifer was one of the archangels. Michael, one of the archangels, was sort of in charge of the Father, what some suggest. Then Gabriel would be in charge and work with the Holy Spirit. Of course, Lucifer, star of the morning, that's what Lucifer means, would be looking over and after Jesus. Well, it's interesting that he was called star of the morning and Jesus is called the light of the world. And I believe, too, one of the reasons that the villain hates grace so much, one of the reasons the villain hates redemption and reconciliation so much, is because it reminds him of what he used to be. He was like in charge of giving glory to the Lord in heaven. He was like the worship leader, and he took the first selfie. He did. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, you can read it along with me in a second, that he chose to rebel against God. He chose, this is Lucifer, again, a created being, angels are created beings, but love is a choice. He chose to usurp God, to dethrone God, and enthrone himself. He wanted to become deity. That's what he did. So that was the whole vibe. And he convinced a third of the angels to try to attempt this kingdom coup d'etat with him. It didn't work. He was cast out of heaven. Yet, the Bible says that Lucifer was an amazing creature who chose to rebel against God, who wanted the throne to become God. Again, the villain versus God. Isaiah chapter 14. How you've fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to earth. You who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I'll make myself like God. And obviously it didn't work. He was cast down from heaven.
You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're halfway through today's incredible message, and we hope it's been an inspirational part of your day. As we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for joining us and for your continued support. This ministry, focused on sharing the gospel, is possible because of listeners like you. As a token of our gratitude for supporting The Creative Connection, we have a special gift for you. We'd love to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Ed and Lisa Young's newest book, A Path Through Pain. This is a powerful book they wrote after the sudden death of their oldest daughter, Lee Beth. They share profound truth that even in the darkest moments, pain and joy can coexist. To receive your free copy, visit edyoung.com. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. And if today's message has touched your heart, consider supporting us. Your contributions, no matter the size, help us continue spreading God's word and bring hope to many. Visit edyoung.com to learn how you can make a difference. Now, let's continue with today's message. You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
Now, the villain, because he lost that battle, is fighting man. The first man and woman, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. Genesis talks about their situation. They had the perfect environment. They were created beings. God said, enjoy one another, manage everything. But there's one tree in the middle of the garden. Don't touch the fruit on that tree. Well, the Bible says the enemy, the villain, came in, put his mask and cape on, disguised as a serpent. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Let me stop here. Now, God didn't say that. And here's the thing about the devil. The devil knows the Bible better than most Christians I know. So he's always getting us to question and to doubt. So he says, did God really say that? You can't touch any tree? And the woman said, Eve said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. And later on, in the New Testament, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Interesting. Then he says, oh, you're not going to die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You'll have true perspective. And you'll become like God. The devil in the heavens wanted to become God. Now he's on earth. His temptation to Adam and Eve is what? You can become like God. You can run your life. You can be the master of your universe. You can become like God. So he tried to achieve through Adam what he couldn't achieve in the heavenlies. He tried to achieve through Eve, and he did, what he couldn't achieve in glory. He does the same thing in our lives. Every time I put Ed on the throne of my life, I'm allowing the devil to have a micro victory. I'm allowing him to do through me what he didn't get done in heaven. The devil's like, dang, I got Adam and Eve, but I know the Trinity. I know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know they're up to something. And in Genesis 3, verse 15, it talks about a man, talks about a woman, it talks about the birth of someone who is going to open up a Costco-sized can on the devil. This is a foreshadowing of Jesus. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offsprings and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Uh-oh. Man, the devil started absolutely freaking out. The Trinity is up to something. So from God to man, now it goes back to God. He's like, uh-oh, I better make sure if somebody does something, you know, I got to block it. I got to block the birth of Jesus. He knew the scripture. He saw the prophecies. I better block the birth of Jesus. I better block the birth of Jesus. So he was so busy looking in the mansions that he missed the manger. He was so busy looking in the most exclusive hospitals in the world that he forgot about an ordinary piece of farm furniture, the manger. Jesus was born. And he didn't really understand it until the Magi. And they ask Herod. They say, hey, Herod, where is the King of the Jews? Where has he been born? He went nuts. Herod's like, Herod growled, well, I'm the only king. I'm the man of the hour. Well, Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, yep, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. So the devil's like, oh, I've got it. I'll just work through this psycho, the villain, and I'm gonna vandalize God's plan. I'll have Jesus killed. I'll have all the babies, 2 years of age and under, taken from their mother's arms and killed in Bethlehem and the vicinity, and I've blocked the redemptive work of God. I've thwarted his plan. I've vandalized him. I'm the villain, man. He thought he'd won. As we know, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Egypt. But then one day, he hears John the Baptist pointing to a carpenter, 30 years old, by the Jordan River. And John the Baptist says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus was baptized, went public with his ministry. And then something happened. The venue was changed again. The devil doesn't give up, does he? He's defeated. He's a liar. He has throne issues. He doesn't give up. He tries to get Jesus now off of his purpose. He was driven. Jesus was out into the wilderness. The devil tempted him. He knew if he could get Jesus to sin, one little mess up, that he would not be righteous. Thus, he would not have the juice and the purity to pay for our sins on the cross. It didn't work. Jesus emerged sinless. But then the devil worked through Judas to betray him, thought he had done it. Jesus is falsely accused for a crime he didn't commit, died on a cross, buried, and don't you know, the villain, don't you know he was just going crazy, just having a partay. I've thwarted God's best plan. I've messed up mankind, and I've taken out Jesus. But then Jesus rose again
with resurrection power. The death of death, victory over the grave, a new life, a new beginning, forgiveness, cleansing. So now the villain goes back to man again. He goes back to man. He knows he's a loser. He knows it's over. Yet he's trying to bring as many people with him, as many men with him as possible. And he's trying to take them to hell, telling them, if you just live a good life, you'll get to heaven. Good isn't good enough. If you are very religious, you'll get to heaven. There are many roads that lead to the same path. Buddhism, Islam, you know, Taoism. It all leads to the same thing. No, it doesn't. That'd be like saying, just take your phone out and dial any number and you'll get my phone number. You'll reach me. No, there's only one number. You only have one number. There's one way to get to God. If there are more than one way, do you think God would have sent Jesus to go through the torture and the hell that he went through? No. No, but we're still, so many people are still believing it. Go to a soccer field, football field, go to baseball field, go to basketball court. Watch people competing as they cheer. You'll see parents there filming.
Oh, yeah.
You know, going crazy, you know, parents. Yet some of us live our lives through our kids. We say we don't. Oh, it's just for the kid. Really? So we try to achieve through our kids what we didn't get done maybe in junior high school or high school. Not always, but some people do. That's what I want you to think about when you think about the villain. He's trying to get done in our lives what he didn't get done in heaven. He wants us to enthrone ourselves. When we enthrone ourselves, ultimately we're enthroning him. We allow him, when we enthrone ourselves, to wreak havoc over our mind, emotions, and will. And that's our soul. We're literally trafficking with the devil. That's the seriousness of sin. So now he's trying to take as many men as possible with him to hell. And then on top of that, those of us who are believers, he's trying to get us to settle for second best. The Bible says, and Jesus said this, that the villain, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullness. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says that we need to understand the devil's schemes, his plan. That's why, again, I just want us to look at this from 30,000. I want us to look at this from God's perspective. The villain. One villain, the devil. One hero, Jesus. One message. Jesus saves. Are you a part of his story? Are you a part of his plot? God wants you to. Just give him the throne of your life.
Thank you for coming to the Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're grateful to have you join us today, and our hope is that this message has equipped you with the tools you need to navigate temptation in your daily life. Remember, Jesus offers us life and hope, and with his help, we can overcome any temptation that comes our way. Your support is so important in helping us share the gospel of Jesus with a hurting world. As a token of our gratitude, we're offering you a free copy of A Path Through Pain by Pastor Ed and Lisa Young. Visit edyoung.com to claim your book and learn more about how you can support Ed Young Ministries. Join us next time as we begin our series, Run Through the Bible with Pastor Ed, where we'll dive into an overview of the Old Testament. Stay connected with us at edyoung.com for more great content and ways for you to be a part of what God is doing through the Creative Connection. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless.